This message entitled The Truth About Rebellion was delivered to Christ Our Rock Bible Church on July 15th, 2018 by the Reverend Roy D. Warren Jr. Is the iniquity of Peor not enough for us, from which we are not cleansed till this day? Although there was a plague in the congregation of the Lord, but that you must turn away this day from following the Lord, and it shall be, if you rebel today against the Lord, that tomorrow he will be angry with the whole congregation of Israel. Nevertheless, if the land of your possession is unclean, then cross over to the land of the possession of the Lord, where the Lord's tabernacle stands, and take possession among us, but do not rebel against the Lord, nor rebel against us, by building yourselves an altar besides the altar of the Lord our God. Did not Achan the son of Zerah commit a trespass in the accursed thing, and wrath fell on all the congregation of Israel, and that man did not perish alone in his iniquity?
Fear ye not me, saith the Lord. Will ye not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree, that it cannot pass it, and though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail? Though they roar, yet can they not pass over it? But this people hath a revolting and rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. Neither say they in their heart, Let us now fear the Lord our God, that giveth rain both the former and the latter. In this season he reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest.
Amen. It uses the same root, but in this case, it goes beyond. And I want to show you today that it's actually in three parts. All right? It's actually in three parts. We'll get into that as we go, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Join me in prayer, please. Father, we want to thank you, dear God, for this day. We want to thank you, Lord, for times of praising you, times of coming to you in prayer, times of hearing from you, dear God, and receiving our direction, praise the Lord, times of just letting you speak into our hearts, dear God, all through this morning. So we want to thank you and praise you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name that we give you all of the glory in this time. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The truth about rebellion. Okay? The truth about rebellion. There were two high school buddies. They had common interests all through school. They even went to the same university after high school and were roommates while there. But when it came time to graduate and go to graduate school, the two did split. They went their own ways for that season. One went to medical school in order to become a doctor, and the other went to law school to become a lawyer. Now, the two men, they didn't just forget about each other. They kept in constant touch while they were in grad school. Unfortunately, they both fell in love with the same girl. They both dated her throughout graduate school until the medical student became a doctor and the law student became a lawyer. As the story goes, one day the lawyer found out he had to be out of town for a while. Now, he feared that his doctor rival might move on in a little bit closer and somehow secure the affections of this girlfriend that they both had. So he decided to follow the old adage. He came up with a gift, and he had it gift wrapped professionally. It looked like it had to be something gorgeous. He gave his girl the gift. And she opened it up, and she found it was a box of apples, one for each day that he would be gone. Do you get it? An apple a day keeps the doctor away. I don't know that it did, but you know, that was his idea anyway. Praise the Lord. Another story is told of a rather young lady in her late teens, perhaps early 20s, was asked by her teacher if she would rather be beautiful or good. If you had a choice now and you could only be one or the other, would you choose to be beautiful or good? And it turned out her answer shed light on the meaning of cheap grace, because this was her answer. She said, "I'd rather be beautiful. I can always repent." And sad to say, that's about the way a lot of people see it today. That's the way a lot of churches put it forth. Just go ahead and do your thing. Don't worry about if it's right or wrong or whatever. And you know, in the end, and some churches are even telling people, in the end, when you see Jesus coming, you know, you can go ahead and repent and everything will be fine. Now, that's not what the Bible says, but that's what a lot of people, a lot of pastors, a lot of churches are getting all wrapped up in. I'd rather be beautiful because, after all, if I'm not good, if I'm bad, then I can always repent, and therefore I get both things. That's not biblical, by the way. Hear me clearly. That's not biblical. Okay? God is looking for a people that will choose to follow him in every way. Amen? Because when we don't do that, and when we fall from that, when we run from that, that is actually rebellion. And that's why I wanted to tell you today about the truth of rebellion. Don't believe what the other people are saying and what the other pastors in their, you know, pat the person on the back kind of gospel is going to give you. Because there are a lot of people that do want that, and that's what they're going for, is a lot of people. and then they have to keep them with the same message. If you change your message and you get more serious, not a lot of them are going to stick around. Times Square Church once said, for every 10 people that come to church, like as visitors, 7 go out the back door. Meaning, 7 don't stay. I remember one time when we were there, and we were standing up, and I noticed a book that somebody had left on their seat as they stood up. And it was a book by Benny Hinn. And you know, that's not going to work. You know, if that's where his head is, if that's where his heart is, that's not going to work in that church. Not at all. You're not going to buy into that. And you're going to just get frustrated and probably go somewhere where you hear what you want. A lot of people have gone places where they'll hear what they want. But the idea isn't to go where you want to hear something or where you think you can hear what you want. The idea is to go and hear the true gospel and then ask God to change you so that is what you want. That's the idea of the church. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I've said this story before. I've told this story before, so I'll try to be brief with it, but I think it is rather true to what we're looking at, and really points out the fact of the matter. One year, we were on study leave, and we went to Massanutten Springs, and it was a conference, a Bible conference, and it was down in Harrisonburg, Virginia, I believe, and it was rather genteel. It was Southern, okay, and we had our meals in the dining hall. And you didn't have to go with your tray up to the counter and grab your stuff. It was all served family style. Big bowl of mashed potatoes, big bowl of this, and a big platter of the meat, and so forth and so on. You pass it around like you would in your family. And you know, and thereby get what you want. Well, One morning for breakfast, we were served up grits. Now, I had no idea what a grit was. But I'm telling you, it looked a little bit like, not oatmeal, what's the other one? Cream of wheat. Kind of reminded me of cream of wheat. So, but they called it grits. I didn't know what you're really supposed to do with it. I mean, I know you're supposed to eat it, but do you put anything on it? And so I don't know. I probably kind of treated it like, a cream of wheat, and maybe put a little milk on it, and maybe a little butter, and so forth. I mean, that's the way I would do it, you know. Anyway, in the process of eating that, there was a little girl. I'm guessing she was probably about 9 years old, and she was sitting there next to me from another family. See, we didn't have our own table. You had several families at one big table. And so she's sitting next to me, and she asked me, you know, what I was doing. And she says, because those are grits, and that's not what we normally put on grits. Now, I don't remember exactly what they do put on grits, but anyway, what I put on grits was not what they put on grits, and so there comes the story. So she says, you're putting on, that's not what you do with grits. And it just popped out. I'm sorry, it just popped out of my mouth. I wasn't trying to be ungracious or anything like that. And I wasn't even thinking of being in the South. I wasn't even thinking about being in this genteel place, you know. But I said, well, I guess I'm just a rebel. Did you know they're still fighting the Civil War in some of those areas? Huh? All I said was, I guess I'm just a rebel. She kicked me under the table. Kicked me right in the leg. I didn't make a deal out of it. I didn't, you know, say, hey, mom and dad, your girl just kicked me. We'd probably get into a bigger thing because of what it was over, you know, about being a rebel. Because, you don't call them rebels. They did during the war, you know. During the Civil War, you know, Johnny Reb and all of those kind of things. And the rebel states. And, you know, I mean, that word was used a lot. Well, not there at that breakfast table and not sitting next to that girl. Okay. And quite frankly, I never did it again. But I wasn't even thinking of it. I wasn't trying to make a point to her or get at her or anything. It just came out, well, I guess I'm just a rebel. Whoa. I was a rebel at breakfast, but I wasn't a rebel at lunch. I suppose that there are a lot of illustrations that we could use. A lot of stories, a lot of points could be made. But I think the best definition, I really think, is found in 1 Samuel. Remember I told you it was quite close to the thing I shared at the beginning of the service? 1 Samuel chapter 12. Well, this is 1 Samuel chapter 15. If you'll turn there, I'd like to show it to you. Praise the Lord. It's right next to 2 Samuel. Did you guess that already? 1 Samuel chapter 15. First Samuel chapter 15 and really verse 23 is all we really need. For rebellion, this is verse 23. First Samuel chapter 15, verse 23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. It makes a pretty good case as to what a rebellion is all about. Rebellion is a big thing in our society, you know. That's kind of the big thing. Go ahead and do something the way somebody doesn't want you to do it and force it on them and so forth and so on. And, you know, rebel. That's what it's all about, you know, rebel. Because thou hast rejected. I mean, you know, what is all this? I mean, what's all this going on in our society, you know? does it make any real sense to have ink all over your body? I mean, all over your body. Does it make any real sense, you know, to have all kinds of, you know, things, you know, gouging your lips and your belly button and all the rest of this stuff? You know, I mean, this is rebellion. And he says that rebellion is the same thing as witchcraft. Well, that's divination. That's contacting the spirit world, and not a, in a good way. Stubbornness is the same thing as iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. He hath also rejected thee from being king. Look at that. Rejected the word of the Lord, and he has also rejected thee from being king. Talking to Saul, because he had done something he wasn't supposed to do. Stubbornness is bitterness. It's rebellion. The rejected is in the same verse, and both start with R-E. Rejected is in there twice. This is certainly the truth about rebels and rebellion. It is the refusal to heed the warnings of God. I don't need to listen to God. I don't have to go in the direction that he expects me to go. I mean, after all, later on when I find I was wrong, I'll just repent. That's what that girl decided to do. I'll be beautiful in the meantime, but if I have to repent, I'll repent. Well, that's not going to do any good, because that's not what, it's not from what? It's not from the heart. It's not from the heart. It's playing games with God. All right? It's a refusal to heed the warnings of God. I want you to turn over to Joshua now. This is going, further back now. Joshua, it's right after the Pentateuch. Okay. Joshua, and it's chapter 22. We looked at this earlier. Joshua 22. And verse 5, 22, verse 5. The eastern tribes are returning home, okay? And Joshua is leading the way. This is after Moses has passed away, okay? And verse 5 says, well, I'll start in verse 4. And now the Lord your God hath given rest unto your brethren, as he promised them. This is, by the way, Joshua 22, verse 4. And get you into your tents and into the land of your possession, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you on the other side Jordan. But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law. This is Bible, people. This is Bible telling you what to be about. This isn't legalism. This is God's word. Amen? This isn't just doing something to keep God off our backs. This is because we love the Lord. Amen? I said it's because we love the Lord. Take diligent heed to do the commandment of the law, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. So Joshua blessed them and sent them away. And they went into their tents. As far as rebellion goes, as far as being the rebel, you know, the noun, or rebellion in the sense of it being a verb, committing rebellion, okay? There's a verb and there's a noun. And those are not good things, of course. But God, if you let him, can take control if you surrender everything. To love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. You see, if you go and rebel at this point, and then you rebel at that point, and then you notice it, then you can come to God and you can say, Lord, I just noticed this. You know, it's like me just noticing that weed coming up, okay, in the... You know, I mean, it got 8 feet tall and I didn't even notice it. When we have sin crop up in our bushes, in our hearts, in our lives, then it's, you know, obviously not a good thing. So you get rid of it. You expel it. You are done with it. Okay? All right? But what is this word? Well, the call was given to be good, to love, to walk, to keep, to cleave, to serve. The call was to follow God and do what he says, okay? The call was given. And then comes the warning, okay? And this is in verses, chapter 22 still. And, chapter 22 still. And verses 18 through 20. And this is what you heard a little bit earlier, okay? And I'll go ahead and take it back to, let me go ahead and take it back to the paragraph break. And that's verse 15. And they came unto the children of Reuben and to the children of Gad and to the half tribe of Manasseh and unto the land of Gilead. And they spake with them, saying, thus saith the whole congregation of the Lord, what trespass is this that ye have committed against the God of Israel, to turn away this day from following the Lord, in that ye have builded you an altar, that ye might rebel this day against the Lord? Is the iniquity of Peor too little for us, that from which we are not cleansed unto this day, although there was a plague in the congregation of the Lord, which, by the way, was intended to stop it? But some of it continues. In verse 18 it says, but that ye must turn away this day from following the Lord. Is that what you think you must do? Turn away from the Lord instead of getting right with God? And it will be seeing ye rebel against the Lord, that tomorrow he will be wroth with the whole congregation of Israel. Notwithstanding, if the land of your possession be unclean, then pass ye over into the land of the possession of the Lord, wherein the Lord's tabernacle dwelleth, and take possession among us. But rebel not. You can't get any clearer than that. Rebel not against the Lord. All right? Nor rebel against us, in building you an altar beside the altar of the Lord our God. Did not Achan the son of Zerah commit a trespass in the accursed thing? And wrath fell on all the congregation of Israel, and that man perished not alone in his iniquity. His whole family went down in that place. The whole family was taken down, so to speak. The word is rebel. Or rebel, whether you're talking about a verb or a noun. The Hebrew word for both is marad, M-A-R-A-D, for that basic root word. Marad. Literally, to rebel, to go against. Do you remember the story of Ruth and Naomi? And they come back from Bethlehem, and they come back to Bethlehem from being away in Moab. Remember that? And Naomi didn't want to be known by Naomi anymore. She said, I want to be called Mara. I want to be called Mara. It means bitterness. It means destitute. It means to be against. Literally, what it's referring to here is being against God. That's what being a rebel is. That's what rebelling is. That's what rebellion is. Okay? It's a bitterness. It's a destituteness. You're coming against God. You're not wanting to believe what he has to say. You don't want to change and become more like him. So what do? You rebel. And that's all from the root. From the root word, marad. God is making a futile search, what appears to be a futile search, for an upright person. Turn over to Jeremiah, where we were a little bit earlier. Okay, Jeremiah chapter 5, and verses 22 and following. Fear ye not me, saith the Lord. This is Jeremiah chapter 5, beginning with verse 22. Fear ye not me, saith the Lord. Will ye not tremble at my presence? which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree, that it cannot pass it. And though the waves also toss themselves, yet can they not prevail. Though they roar, yet they cannot pass over it. But this people hath a revolting, watch this, they have a revolting and rebellious heart. A revolting and a rebellious heart. Both words starting with R-E. Both words. And they're referring to the same thing. Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God that giveth rain, both the former and the latter, in his season. He reserveth, another R-E word, he reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. The word that's used here in these verses is rebellious. We've seen rebel, we've seen rebel, we've also seen rebellion, okay? But God is taking it another step here, all right? This is the important thing. God goes ahead and builds another word, which, by the way, is only used this once in the Bible. Not just bitter toward God, but it includes resisting God. It's not just bitter towards God and you still do what God wants you to do. No, you're going further than that. You're coming against what God wants you to do and you're not doing it. It's the same root that's in there, that marad, it's in that word, okay? God has turned the noun and the adverb, either one, into an adjective. An adjective. It's an intensifier. An adjective is a graphic explainer. Now, you never heard it quite put that way in English class, but that's how I think it is seen. That's how we recognize it, I think, more often than not. An intensifier, a graphic explainer. It takes the root word further, makes it clear what kind of real problem it can be. It heightens the word, the original word, rebel. It takes it into a new field of operation. Okay? That's what an adjective does. It explains the other word. It makes it more graphic, makes it, specifies it better than the original word. All right? It changes things. In this case, for the bad. Okay? It makes you more disobedient. It brings you to the point where you want to disobey. You don't want to go God's way. You're coming against it. Amen? I mean, that's what rebellion is. But now it says rebellious. Rebellious, that's another whole word altogether with the same idea, only it's intensified. Maybe I can just put it that way. It's even more intensified. Okay? It's a grievous provocation. It's to rebel against God's heart. And you know how you know that? Because it says in verse 23, but this people hath a revolting and rebellious heart. You see, this is no longer just almost unknowingly committing or being, I'll put it this way, being a rebel. Okay? It's no longer just that. And it's no longer just falling into a place where you rebel. It's bigger than that. It's harder than that. This rebellious has to do, it's like I say, it's an adjective, so it strengthens it. It makes it worse than it once was, to use the word rebellious. It's a matter of you, it's where your heart is, people. If that's where your heart is, that you're rebellious, and you have no intention of changing, that's a very bad thing. If you commit a rebellion or you rebel at this point or that point, you know, you can recognize that rebellion and you can turn back to the Lord and you can ask Him to take it out of you and take it away from you and praise God. And you can still do that when it comes to a matter of to be rebellious, but it's a much more difficult thing because, and what I mean by that is it's all through the heart now. You didn't just happen to slip over here and rebel against something. Maybe you didn't even recognize it. Maybe you didn't even realize it. But now you got it in your heart. Now you want to be against God. Now you want to rebel. And I'm not saying you do. I'm saying, boy, watch out. Amen? Make sure that weed doesn't grow too big. As soon as you spot that thing, you know, rip it out. Amen? You see what I'm saying? Yeah. But as we said last week, it doesn't have to go that way. Actually, we've been saying it for weeks now. It doesn't have to go that way. You don't have to be rebellious. You don't have to give your heart over to being against what God wants you to do. You don't have to do that. If you do, it's very, very serious, obviously. Just stay away from being a rebel. Right? Just stay away from it. And then, you know, because if you, well, that's not so bad. Oh, that piece of rebellion is not so bad, you know, and then before you know it, it's in your heart. And when it's in your heart, it's something really bad. Amen? You know, because the other cases might have been, you didn't even notice it. I didn't notice that weed growing up in the middle of that bush. Got to be 8 feet tall by the time I noticed it yesterday. Sticking out of the top of the bush. Now, why didn't I notice that? Why didn't I see that? Well, you could say, well, we're pretty busy. We got a ton of other things to do, you know, and all of that. But still kind of obvious once you notice it. And I think rebellion is that way too, especially a rebellious heart. When you finally notice it, when you finally see what you're doing is you're coming against God all the time. You're not doing what God wants you to do. You're off in some other direction, like a lot. Okay? Praise God. You come to Jesus and He promises He's an advocate. Amen? You come to Jesus and you surrender. That's what I say. It's not just a D for decision. It's an S for surrender. Lots of people can make decisions and go against them the next day. Make it a real surrender and just might stick around. Amen? Okay, right? It doesn't have to go that other way. Just stay away from being a rebel in the first place. Amen? It didn't take much for me to notice how I blew it at that Bible conference. Right? Use the word at the breakfast table, you know, rebel. And the little 9-year-old girl next to me kicks me in the shin. Because you don't call us rebels down here in Virginia. I didn't know. Not only didn't I notice that, I didn't know that. I mean, you still got to, you know, history is still history. But to a 9-year-old girl that's grown up with all that, you know, there's a lot of people still living the Civil War in all kinds of areas. But as we said last week, it doesn't have to be that way. Praise God, it doesn't. You won't become rebellious. You stay away from doing a rebellious act or being a rebel just in general, you're not going to get a rebellious heart. Amen? Do you see what I'm saying? You stay away from that, God's going to protect the heart. God owns the heart of the saved person. Amen? But if you think you don't have to listen to God, then He's going to let you go so far, and then He's going to try to make it clear to you that you took a wrong turn someplace. All right? A.W. Tozer, he once wrote this. He said, "There are a great many bogus Christs among us these days." John Owen, he's referring to him. John Owen, the old Puritan, warned people in his day. You see, that's what this is. That's what this whole thing is. These rewords. Really, it's a warning when you think about it. It's gone this way so far, but return to something else. Redo it. Fuse to go on in the same way. All these re things. You know, there's a big warning in all of that. Amen? He said, you have an imaginary Christ. If you are satisfied with an imaginary Christ, you must be satisfied with an imaginary salvation. Think about that. You must be willing to put up with an imaginary salvation if you've got an imaginary Jesus. And when you rebel against God, you're trying to hold on to an imaginary Jesus. Really? Amen? There is only one Christ, and the truly saved man has an attachment to Christ that is not only intellectual, but also you know Christ theologically. I mean, you know him personally, of course, as Lord and Savior, but you know that you know that you know that this is God. Amen. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God. For you know that there is the romantic Christ of the female novelist, and there is the sentimental Christ of the half-converted cowboy. There is the philosophical Christ of the academic egghead, and there is the cozy Christ of the effeminate poet, and there is the muscular Christ of the all-American halfback. You know what I'm talking about. People try to bring this stuff. You know, usually they use the verse, you know, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. And it's for everything under the sun. You know, even stuff that, you know, God wouldn't even want you doing. But there is only one true Christ. And God has said that he is his son. Amen? That's how Tozer put it. There's only one Christ. So don't rebel against that one Christ. Amen? And certainly don't let that get into your heart. Right? Amen? Because it's awfully different when it's in the heart as to if you just happened to blow it over here. Like you didn't even know it was rebellion. All right? So don't go that way. That's all. Just don't go that way. And you won't turn out to have what it says here in Jeremiah, a revolting and rebellious, there's that rebellious heart. It's not just making a bad decision. Your heart is bent on being against what God is telling you to do. And you might think you're fine because, you know, you do a lot of things for God. But, you know, but if he's calling you into something bigger and further down the road and so forth, you know, don't revolt against it. Don't be rebellious against it, because that's going to come from the heart. Revolting. I'll close with this. Revolting is the Hebrew word karar. It's the Hebrew word karar. To turn away, to be backslidden, to be stubborn and withdrawn. I mean, it's basically the same thing as rebelliousness. Okay? Rebelliously is the adverb. Rebelliousness. You know, I mean, there's all kinds of different forms of speech. Backslidden, stubborn, withdrawn. Now remember, this is a warning, okay? And you got to see how warnings, I believe, are very crucial. It doesn't have to go that way. And that you've got to hear for sure. I'm not telling you everybody's going to rebel. I knew a pastor one time that said, nobody's going to make it. He's talking about his own church, and nobody's going to make it. Nobody ever does make it. Everybody backslides. It doesn't have to be that way. Might have been his experience because he sees it a lot, but you know what? It doesn't have to be that way, because if you follow Jesus, he's not going to lead you there. Did you know that? You follow Jesus, he's not going to lead you there. Praise the name of Jesus. It doesn't have to go that way. This is the truth about acts of rebellion developing into a rebellious and a revolting heart. Do you see what I'm saying? It goes beyond the act of rebellion. It hasn't gotten into your heart yet. You just happened to do it. Maybe you didn't even notice it. But now it gets into the heart. And that is a lot more. to deal with. Praise the Lord. Amen? It really kind of gets harder for you to want to get out of it, because it's so big. So don't let it get there. That's all there is to it. Just don't let it get there. What's the first step? Repent. Amen? All these are things. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Father, I do want to thank you, dear God, for this truth here today. I know, Lord, that these things are things you do want us to focus on and really grab onto and get it in our hearts and be forever thankful, dear God, that you have given a way. You have shown the light. Yo, praise God, you have marked out the road. You have pointed the direction. You have given us a light to follow. Praise the name of Jesus. And that light is Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. We thank you, Lord, dear God. We don't have to go this bad way, this wrong way, dear God. We don't have to do it. We don't have to do it. A lot of people do because they want to rule their own lives, but we don't have to do it. We can instead let Jesus rule our lives. And I want to thank you for that. Be praised, honored, and glory, dear God, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.